The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family. Jaran, 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 jaran,
jaran, jaran, jaran, jaran, jaran, jaran, jaran. Hello, welcome. Here's a brand new My Mate Bought a Toaster. This is Tom Price, and this is the voice of Tez Ilias. Hello, Tez Ilias.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. This is a whole Tez Ilias in the studio.
It is an entire one, sitting there in your Choose Love t-shirt.
Thank you.
You've just zoomed down from doing your TV show up in Manchester.
Yeah.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It's so exciting, mate.
Thanks for doing My Mate Bought a Toaster. Now, I've kind of been explaining to you what this is as we walk in and we sit down and you log in. You had to reset your password, so you've got a brand new password now. You've already got something new out of today.
I typed it in like 17 times wrong and then he asked me for a new one. So we're in, though.
Do you miss your old password? Are you sad?
You know what? I think I typed in the one that I thought it was and accepted it as my new password. So.
Oh, fine.
Hopefully.
Oh, that's an absolute dream.
At least now I know what it is.
Let's go back, Tez. Come with me. Come with me. To November 2004.
What the fuck? Is that when I first used Amazon?
Yeah.
Was Amazon even around in 2004?
Of course it was, mate. It's been around since the 90s.
Has it?
Yeah. November 2004. What were you doing?
November 2004, I was in my last year at university.
Okay, where were you at uni?
Lancaster.
Very nice.
Yeah, so I would have been in my master's year.
Oh, okay. You stay on for a bit because you can't work out what to do with your life.
Yeah. So I graduated that summer, stayed on same uni though.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have been doing my master's. So I would have been doing my master's in management.
Okay, well, there you go. So look, October 2004, right? You spent £22 on management, a critical text by Liz Fullop and Stephen Linstead. Cost £20, sold by Kelvin Books.
Mate, they don't half scam you at university, do they?
They really don't.
That's really expensive. I remember I was broke at 21. Mm. That's really expensive.
Of course, £20 on a book, which is this like the York Notes? Because I did an English degree, and we always just got the York Notes, which tells you the story in a paragraph, basically.
Okay,
and
cool.
You sort of regurgitate that. Is that what this is, or is this your big beast?
No, this is the big beast of a textbook, yeah. Okay. Honestly, I can't remember. I wasn't a very good student. Mm. I like the idea of having all the things you need to be a student.
Books.
So I made sure I bought the books. Mm. Pens were good.
Gout, often, few illnesses.
I mean, I don't drink, so I would never have gout. But insomnia.
You can still get gout if you don't drink.
Can you? Mm. Okay. Sugar, Red Bull fueled insomnia. I had all that stuff going on.
Yeah.
Sense of dread of leaving university, so staying on to do a master's. You know, I had all of that.
Yeah.
But
it's weird when you stay on to do a master's as well. A few of my friends did it. I didn't do it, but a few of my friends did. And they, you think everyone's going to stay. Guys, we're all going to stay here for another year. Yeah. And then you're like, everyone's fucking gone.
I was quite lucky that I'd made a lot of friends who were the years below me.
Oh, I see.
So I see. So like that master's year, I had a bloody great time.
Did you?
Yeah. I think it might be my favourite year at uni. I had a wonderful time that year.
You got rid of the dross and you got to hang out with Liz Fullop and Stephen Linstead, who wrote Management, a Critical Text.
God, I cannot remember even what the front of that book looks like.
It's quite a dry look.
Yeah.
They weren't managing any graphic designs.
I imagine it was a pretty dry book in
general. It really was. You also bought My Name is Joe, the audio CD, My Name is Joe, by the artist Joe. Do you have any idea what that is?
Joe's a rapper.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God. I was like, what the hell is that? Yeah. Joe's a rapper.
Yeah.
So that might have been a birthday present.
Okay.
For a friend.
Right. Nice. My friend. Present.
Yeah. You know what's coming back to me? So my friend Layla, I think her birthday's in October. Mm-hmm. She was at uni with me and her favourite artist at the time, or one of her favourite artists was Joe, right, who was like this soppy R&B.
Yeah.
And that I probably would have bought it for her because that is a genre of R&B that I wouldn't have been into. I would think I'm into Joe.
Right, okay.
Particularly myself.
So soppy R&B, is that what you call it?
Yeah. It's kind of like R. Kelly, but you know all of R. Kelly's like really romantic songs.
He hung around with younger people when he did his masters, didn't he, R. Kelly? I'm pretty sure.
We had that in common. Mine were a year younger.
Right, just to be clear.
To clarify.
Not that we're laughing about any of that, of course. 2005.
Right.
Lover's Guide, What Women Want. This is, it seems to be some sort of movie. I think it's a DVD by Simon Ludgate, the director.
What's it called?
It's called The Lover's Guide, What Women Want.
And when did I buy that?
Well, you bought this in March 2005, Tez. So this was...
Round about the time I lost my virginity. So that would honestly make sense.
Was it this that helped you?
No.
You knew what to do.
I don't think it was. I have no idea. Maybe that was a birthday. You know what? That was a birthday present for someone else as well.
A video guide presented by Dr. Sarah Humphrey, which provides a comprehensive look at what women are really looking for in their sexual relationships and personal pleasure. Subjects covered are masturbation techniques, and they've misspelt masturbation, which is very upsetting. It's also got some very bad reviews. One star from Candy Star says, not what I was expecting.
Oh, they wanted porn. It sounds like they wanted porn. And it sounds like this is a textbook.
Sunny Guy says, highly disappointing, should be banned, ! Highly disappointing indeed. The DVD encourages people to commit evil and lead sinful and immoral or impure lives. They've even fooled the couples involved in the making of the film that they were, in fact, in an exercise to find out the truth of what women really want. The result, a plain superficial and an experiment full of lies. This goes on for ages, this review.
Oh, wow.
This goes on. It encourages or paints masturbation as a moral act. Or helping women, implying men also to do the same, to cultivate the orgasmic passion culture. Tez, any thoughts on the orgasmic passion culture? This is a great product here, isn't it?
I don't remember writing that review, but I was obviously very, very emotional at the time.
You need to learn how to spell masturbation.
Do I? Okay.
And then let's skip on ahead, right? Let's go on to 2008 now.
Okay.
Right. Only two orders placed in 2008.
I know where I was in 2008.
Where were you?
Liverpool.
I love Liverpool.
Capital of culture, yeah?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to be there that entire year. I loved it, man. That was one of my favourite years, 2008. Yeah.
What were you doing in Liverpool for a year then? What was going on?
So I had got a job at the Home Office maybe 14 months prior, and I spent a year in London,
yeah.
Croydon specifically.
Yeah.
And did not like it.
What, didn't like Croydon?
Didn't like Croydon. Just didn't like the whole thing, I think. And so I then took a job in the Home Office, but in Liverpool.
Right, okay.
Come back up north. Also, I got married.
So, are you from the north originally?
What? Yeah, I'm from Blackburn.
You're Blackburn, right?
Okay. Yeah, so I'll be close to home. Also, I got married in 2008.
Oh, I mean, that's. I love that you've listed off the things that happened.
You know why?
Because you told me it was Liverpool City of Culture before you told me you got married.
I just remembered I got married. No, because it didn't last. So, I remember I got married in 2008. The summer of 2008, I got married.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in Pakistan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me more. What I mean,
arranged.
You did the arranged marriage.
Yeah, got an arranged marriage.
How did that come about?
So yeah, I was asked to marry someone. Thought about it. Went all right. and then no, I kind of thought life's an adventure, innit? And I thought, oh, this is the next one. Work out, innit? It's Tez's life. Tez is a good life.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, everything I kind of say yes to generally works out eventually.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, let's do that. And then I did it, and I was like, ow, this is not a good idea.
At what point, how far into it? Were you going to live over here or over there?
No, here. So she came over in 2009. Then we lived together for about a year. And I just, I mean, she's lovely.
Mm.
You know, nothing, not a word against her have I got. But just we're not, just two people not suited to each other. And I think she found that quite difficult because she's from Pakistan. So for her, this was what you're supposed to do. This was her whole life had led up to this moment. And now you marry someone, live happily ever after, blah, 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 blah. Whereas growing up here was just that wasn't what I wanted.
So did she stay here?
Yeah. So she lives
here. So she's built a life here?
Yeah. And she's cool. I wanted to make sure that she had that choice.
Yeah.
So that I didn't want to, so like, yeah, when we eventually parted, I wanted to make sure that she had the choice of whether she wanted to live here or I sorted it out so that she could stay here if she wanted to.
Yeah. So you're in Liverpool for a year. That's the year. So you know you've got an arranged marriage lined up for next year at this point, do you?
In the summer. Yeah. So I think I moved to Liverpool maybe at the end of 2007.
I see. Okay.
And then I got married. So then I lived in Liverpool till the summer.
Yeah.
When I got married.
Yeah.
And then I started commuting from Blackburn.
Uh-huh.
In a car.
Yes.
And then I think I left that job in Liverpool about November, December.
And were you thinking comedy?
No, mate, I'd never, ever, ever thought about doing stand-up until I started doing stand-up.
When did you start doing stand-up? When did that happen?
2010.
Okay, so we're still a few years out from that.
Yeah. This is pre-comedy, Tez.
I find this interesting though.
In my mid-20s though.
Yeah, well, but this is what's fascinating about doing this podcast is we speak to comedians and they are divided between those for whom comedy has just been there the whole time, staring at them, going, you need to be a show-off, you need to write jokes. And the rest of us...
I mean, I was super obnoxious and I can see now...
I find
now,
that very hard to believe.
I can see now that I needed an outlet and that outlet eventually came in the form of stand-up. And now I'm probably still a bit obnoxious, but significantly. I mean, if you've met me now and you think I'm obnoxious, just thank Allah that you didn't meet me in my mid-20s because I was a dickhead.
Well, you were a dickhead who bought Star Wars, the original trilogy,
that was
and
me.
Star Wars, the prequel trilogy as
that
well.
That would have been me.
Yeah, you dropped 35 quid on Star Wars in 2008.
I think that's fair.
I think that's completely fair.
I think that's a fair purchase.
Yeah, that's not a dick. That's
a fair purchase.
All right, let's move on from 2008 then. So we head into 2009. So this is the year where you get married.
So I was already married. So my wife came to the UK in 2009.
I understand. All right. Okay. Oh, 2009, no orders placed. What's going on there? What happens in 2009? Nothing. Nothing more. Okay, all right, yeah. You didn't need anything. You had your Star Wars. You had your,
I was using HMV to buy my DVDs and stuff.
Yeah, do you remember those shops?
Yeah.
Do you remember the ones?
Yeah, so.
I mean, that is another part of this podcast because we are not affiliated with Amazon at all. So we do talk very frankly about the fact that as we look at how much stuff we bought on this website, you can correlate the two.
Yeah, yeah,
It's bad, man.
Yeah.
However, I don't think many shops sold An Introduction to Philosophy, which you bought in December 2010.
That sounds like me, innit?
It does sound like you, yeah.
You know what? Because I did a degree in science and a master's in management.
Mm.
And then you start having conversations with people and you're like, oh, people seem to know about stuff that I have no idea about.
Yeah.
And people are really good at articulating arguments in a way that I was never trained to do.
Yes.
So let's start reading.
Yeah, yeah. And it's that thing of... Do you read because you want to end up being like you want to do that, you want to have that sort of knowledge at your fingertips, or do you read for the actual pleasure of reading? Do you know what I mean? Is it because it's a
you know function? What I used to really enjoy reading when I was younger. I bloody love reading,
but not so much now.
I don't read anymore.
Bloody phones.
Yeah, phones, Netflix, all that stuff. I don't read anymore. And the thing is, when I'm not so in my downtime, I'll watch TV because I love TV films, TV and films, and I've got a Cineworld card. Yes. Which means I pay £20 a month and go any movie, anytime. I've got that now. Yeah, yeah. I use it. Like, I love going to cinema on my own. Like,
you've got a Cineworld card. You are a grown man and you have a Cineworld card.
Yeah. Wow. So I can go watch the new Hobbs and Shaw starring The Rock and Jason Statham tonight if I want.
Head over there.
Have you got that choice? No, okay. I've got that choice.
It's like a cultural gym membership, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just pop over
basically.
There, do you know the staff? I'm feeling sort of Partridge Staying
well,
the travel
it's,
type.
Well, it's different cinemas, isn't it? Cinemas.
So well, of course,
So if I'm stuck somewhere over a weekend doing gigs, just go to the cinema.
Oh, yeah, hang on. Why don't all stand-ups have a Cineworld card? Because they spend a fortune in cinema.
They're idiots.
Well, all stand-ups are idiots. We know that well. So An Introduction to Philosophy, you spent £0 and zero pence on that. So well done. You got that for free.
Maybe that was on... I think I might have gotten a Kindle then.
Yeah. And then let's skip ahead to 2012 because nothing bought in 2011. Again, I like this. You have these sort of off years,
so in 10
these fallow years.
In 10 was there nothing either?
10? No, 10 was that was the one thing. That was 10, the philosophy thing.
So in 2009, 10 and 11, I bought one thing.
Which you didn't even pay for.
What, my thing?
How were Amazon possibly making money when you were just getting your freebies off them? It's incredible.
Bloody
and yet they were going from strength to strength. And you really helped them then in July 2012. The Kindle
The Olympics.
Olympics, yeah. But of course...
which I worked on.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was at the Home Office. I was in the team responsible for making the Olympics safe and secure.
You did well. You did a great job.
Yeah. Do you remember how no one got blown up?
Hang on a sec. Oh yeah, yeah. No one got blown up. Yeah, I thought about that.
You're welcome.
Tess, can I just say thank you?
Fucking nailed it.
You so, absolutely did. That
you're welcome,
again.
Guys.
That is a very binary job. You either succeed in that job or you don't.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And remember, petty crime went down in London. Everyone had a great time.
Is that right? Isn't that because there were just thousands of policemen? Was that the policy? How did you
part
deal
of it? But I think that was just... Were you here?
Yeah. Well, we just had a baby. So I was very much at home with a colicky baby at that time.
But do you remember how, like, London was just amazing to be in that summer?
Amazing.
People were smiling. People were just having a great time. And just part of it, I think... Yeah, I mean, there was an increased police presence, of course, but I think people just like, yeah, let's just take a summer off.
Yeah, yeah. Why not? Maybe that's... Criminals love sport. So we need more free-to-air sport. So they can watch constantly.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Good help. You bought the George R.R. Martin, Game of Thrones, Dance of Dragons, Book 5, Song of Ice and Fire, Book 4.
All of that makes sense.
How good are those books?
All of that makes sense.
So well written.
So I would have watched the first series of Game of Thrones in April.
Yes.
And then gone, I need to know everything about this world because it is incredible. And then just bought all the books and read them all.
Yeah.
And since then, not a single book has come out.
No. Was that the last time, 2012?
Ish.
So, but the TV show has now eclipsed where the book got
It's
up
done,
to.
It's finished. The TV show's finished.
So is it worth him doing a book or not now? Is
it,
he still going
it
to
It is
do a book?
Because I think the TV show dipped a bit once the source material ran out. And then this season wasn't particularly great. It was fine, but it wasn't great. So I would like to know. So what we do know is that how the TV show ended is kind of how he's going to end the show.
But he's been helping them along, hasn't he? He's been there
a little bit. I think less recently.
Okay.
But I think he had given them the ending when they embarked on this venture to make the show. I think they knew where it was going to end.
Yeah.
George R. Martin takes his sweet ass time getting there.
Doesn't he just?
So I think the conclusion of the books will be significantly more satisfying than the very rushed last season.
So that will be a big queuing around the block waiting for midnight at the bookshop thing?
Yeah.
Or sitting with your Kindle.
Yeah, Kindle. That's you can depressing. just press.
I want to get in the queue. I don't want to press the button.
My favorite queuing up story was in 2007.
Yeah.
Summer, I was on a date with a girl called Shabana. First date.
Okay.
Met her at work. We didn't work together, but we met in the building. And I was like, hey. Hey.
You? Would you like my DVD about what you like?
This stuff. So the first date in Croydon, we went out to Guanabana, a Brazilian-themed nightclub. Yeah. Had a good dance. I think had a smooch. And then I noticed it was like 12:45. I was like, I've got to go. And she's like, who the hell is Tezzarella over here? Needs to be on by midnight. Thanks, mate. I literally made that up on the spot. I was going to say Cinderella and went, I can do better.
Yeah.
And I dragged her to Waterstones because Harry Potter, Half-Blood Prince, was being released.
That's wonderful.
And I had to get it because I'm not a mug who'd read it a day later.
No.
Unfortunately, Waterstones queues for days.
Were you shocked when you got to Waterstones?
No,
I
was annoyed at myself.
Yeah, you should have known.
And probably Shabana as well.
Because
if you weren't here, I probably would be significantly further ahead in this queue. What the hell? And then I had a brainwave.
Go on.
So this is the Waterstones at Trafalgar Square.
Yep.
What's next door? Charing Cross Station.
Oh yeah.
What's in Charing Cross Station?
W.H. Smith's.
W.H. Smith, mate.
Oh, you're absolutely joking.
W.H. Smith, mate.
There's never a queue at Smith's.
W.H. Smith, mate.
Is that just...
So I took a gamble and I left my place in the queue and I went, let me just see if this is a thing. And I went in, 1 minute to midnight.
Yeah.
W.H. Smith's was open.
Hello.
No one in there. Oh. Walked in and bought Harry Potter.
Was there just one really sad person working at Smith's dressed as a wizard? Just like, I was expecting
No,
more.
Nothing. I think because Waterstones is around the corner, they just knew. And I was like, do you have the Harry Potter book in? And they went, yeah.
I love it.
And I was like, can I have it? And they went, it's fine. Yeah. And I bought it and I was like...
Didn't you want to go back? Did you want to go and sort of hold it and walk past the queue of people?
Oh, I did. I think
guys,
I did.
Guys.
I think I did. And then she wondered, like, what are we doing now? And I went, well, I'm getting the night bus home because I live an hour away from here and that is a lot of reading time.
Oh, sweet reading time.
So I'll see you soon, I guess.
Tell me that you... Because reading that the pleasure of that, a brand new book, when there's hype...
So good.
And you know you're going to love it. And it was so good. It's a great book as well.
And that was the one where Dumbledore died.
Of course.
And when I got to that point, which would have been probably...
Just before you got home.
10 a.m. Might have been 10 a.m. the next day.
So you literally sat down and read it?
I read it in two sittings.
Oh, wow, that's obsessive.
So I read it in two sittings.
Are you quite an obsessive guy? If you want to get something done, you get it done.
Not really, but I am. But I am that guy, you know, Netflix, I've got to watch the next episode, got to find out what happens next.
Yeah.
But then I got to a point where I was like, I need to sleep. So I watched it. It might have been, so I might have read it till about 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Gone to bed for a few hours, maybe woke up at midday, one-ish, and then read it again, probably finished it that evening.
Wow.
So at some point that day, maybe 4 p.m., 5 p.m., like I got to that point, and at that point, there's really like 10 minutes left of the book. When I got to the point and I read it, I put the book down because I was like...
You're there. Why would you want to end? Why do you want
like,
it to end?
I was like, oh, he's fucked. I genuinely was like, I don't understand how he's going to win now because because the whole time you're thinking Dumbledore's going to defeat Voldemort.
Mm.
That's where you feel like it's leading up to. And then Dumbledore
dies.
It was never going to be Dumbledore. Yeah, Harry Potter's fucked. He's done. He's done. That's it. He's out. Yeah, he's out of here. There's a whole book to go. I don't understand what's just kill him now because he's got no chance. And then I picked it back up, mad.
So good. I love that. I love that occasion as well. I love the fact that everyone got excited about it. And there was queues and events.
Oh, that's amazing.
We need more of that sort of thing.
And then you found out later that people got the book and read the end and shout the spoilers down the queue. Or in the car, because they would have got killed.
Amazing.
Because they would have got...
Dumbledore died!
Yeah, basically doing that.
That's awful.
It's like in 1981, going past Star Wars and going, oh, Darth is Luke's father.
You know the Usual Suspects?
Yeah.
There's a...
Kaiser Sauce.
Do you know the story about this? It was at Leicester Square Tube. There was a massive poster alongside for the film.
Right.
And someone climbed onto the platform and then climbed up the... They climbed up the poster, basically, with a pen. I was going to say Sharpie, but it's 2000 or 1999, I think.
No, it was 95.
All right, well, way before that. There you go.
A long time ago.
Anyway, they had a pen. And they did an arrow just over Kevin Spacey, just wrote, he's Kaiser Soze. So all these people arrive at Leicester Square to watch this film.
That is, you know what, I to my core, hate people who spoil films and books like that. But yeah. At the same time, that I kind of respect.
I think it's the only form of cultural terrorism. I think, you know what, sometimes people got to attack people, and ultimately it's completely harmless and very funny.
Yeah, ultimately it is. But yeah, that's funny.
Hello and welcome to the Musical Podcast. I'm Kiri.
And I'm Jade.
And I'm Dave.
Dave's on keys. But we don't play that too much because otherwise we'll have to pay some people rights money.
Yeah.
We do a live show where comedians come and sing their favourite musical theatre songs in front of a live audience. This podcast
is us bringing that person inside of a building.
Welcome to Just a Minute with Jade Adams.
I panicked.
Enjoy.
So you've been buying loads of stuff in 2012. You've really been stacking up your Kindle. Got some Quran action going on here.
Yeah.
Okay, are you cool. You man of faith?
Then? Yeah, Muslim. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to say of faith. I'm guessing Muslim based on the Quran. Good. And that's quite a convenient way to read it on the Kindle. That's nice.
Yeah. It would have been an English translation, I imagine.
Where's it? Quran Curious, A Guide for Infidels and Believers. What's that then? So that's just like a kind of telling us about what's in the Quran.
Yeah, I think it was, who's that by?
CJ Willerman.
Oh yeah, CJ Willerman. I think he's an atheist type. So I think I just wanted to know I just wanted to read a book where it was like, well, what do you guys think?
Go around and have a look at it from the other side.
Yeah.
Always got to walk all the way around the car before you buy it. Absolutely right, bang on. So 2012, very nice. Lots and lots of books. That's mainly what's going on in your life at this stage.
Yeah, Kindle.
We're doing stand-up as well at this point, Tez, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Yeah.
But this is what happens when people start doing stand-up. They absorb it. Sponges. They want stuff going into their brains so something good comes out of their mouth, right? This is what's going on. Let's skip into 2013. Five orders placed. We've got Islam, A Short History.
Yeah.
Good read. Recommend it? Interesting?
I can't remember.
Okay, cool.
I can't remember. Who's that by? Karen Armstrong?
Yeah, that's it. Bingo.
Yeah.
Hang on.
She's great. I love Karen Armstrong. She's wonderful.
Remember the writer, but not what happens in the book?
No, I remember now.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. She's a Catholic. I think she is a nun or was a nun.
Okay.
But she has a fascination in world religions, and she's a very, very good way of writing things in a way that makes them easy to understand.
Okay, nice. Very good, very nice. What else have we got here? The Reluctant Fundamentalist. I've not read that, but apparently it's amazing.
Great book.
Yeah, I need to read that one. That goes on the list as well. Do you have a list of books you need to read?
Yeah, it's too long though. It's gone. I've given up on it. It's too long.
Mine is going to see me out. Now, there's enough books on that list.
Oh, it's till you die.
Yeah, it's quite a depressing moment.
I think what's quite good is, you know, the BBC, I think the BBC did this around the millennium, and I think they keep it up to date, but it's like 200 greatest books of all time, or 200 books you should read or something.
Yeah, 200!
But it's good to work your way through that and be like, what have I read? And if you enjoyed those books, you're like, oh, maybe the books on this list are worth reading.
Yeah. No, they are quite useful, those guides. But those guides also, they always come with an edge, which you just feel like the book version of FOMO. You're just like, I'm never going to...
Yeah.
So then 2014, I don't want to read anything into this, but it's almost like you hit puberty because all of a sudden you buy... The only things you buy in 2014, right, are double-edged razor blades, a chrome-plated shaving soap bowl.
Oh, I remember this thing.
The Edmund Jagger traditional English faux ivory best badger hair shaving brush.
I remember this
You buy phase. A beautiful double-edged razor thing as well, the Osmo block. Soothes shaving irritation. So in 2014, Tez Ilyas is out there doing stand-up. Amazon is vast and sells everything, and you only use it for shaving.
So what happened? So I suffer from alopecia, right? So I get like little. I'm supposed to get these little holes in my beard.
Yes.
So me not like that. I mean, I literally like
a whole chunk.
Yeah. So So my preference would be always to keep a short beard,
yeah,
kind of like the one that we've got now.
Got a lovely name.
Thank you very much. Yeah, really, so I couldn't do that at the time because I had this alopecia thing going on. So I needed to shave. And then you know how you just go down a YouTube hole. Yeah. And then I got into like the art of shaving. And there's all YouTube channels devoted to this. Like there is everything.
Yeah.
There are YouTube channels devoted to shaving. So I just got into that, and then I bought the equipment, as it were.
Really kitted up for shaving it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I sort of imagine this is one of the most luxurious shaves ever. It's almost slightly it's romantic, if
it's,
I can say.
It's
that.
Really, really nice. You get you know the lather with the brush and the double-edged razor, and you get like, and then I'm reading all about razor blades and what would work for me because I've got really tough hair and stuff. Yeah.
So you've gone for the 100 feather high stainless double-edged.
Yeah, feather, super sharp, the sharpest you can get.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I like the ritual here. I like that, you know, preparing yourself. It feels like you're either preparing to shave or to commit suicide, but either way, it feels like quite a nice kind of...
But I'm still here.
Yeah, well, you're still, clearly, that one of them didn't work. All right, let's go to 2015. Again, only one order. So in 2014, you are a man of facial hair. In 2015, you are a man of Batman Arkham Knight on the PlayStation 4. The only thing you bought, and it was bought on Christmas Eve 2015, and it was a gift. I see a panic buy. I'm not going to lie to you. 100%,
that was a gift. It was definitely a gift, because I don't play...
Do you not play any computer games?
I used to play when it was 2D, you know, like Sonic the Hedgehog and all that stuff, that. But as soon as it got GoldenEye and yes. Call of Duty and when it got 3D and stuff, now I just, like, I'm going along and then it's time to shoot someone. I just start shooting the sky or the ground.
Yeah.
Boing, like that.
Yeah.
Like, I can't control it. So then I just fell out of love with it.
I need a dimension for each hand, basically.
Yeah. So now I don't play.
Yeah. I feel exactly the same.
I don't play FIFA either, which all the lads play FIFA. And I don't, I'm too far behind now.
You know what they should do? Because I completely agree with you. I've got a lot of friends who play it and I would love to be able to. They should do you get a crash course for driving.
Mm.
You spend a week doing it intensely and then you get good and you can pass.
I think you could just do that now. I think you just need to buy PlayStation and FIFA.
And just sit there. No, but someone should instruct you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could probably do that. Yeah, that's what all these kids, the biggest channels now are kids watching other people play video games.
Yeah.
That's a whole phenomenon. So that's probably what exists.
I'm experiencing it with my son watching it, and there's this amazing moment where they say...
But does it not annoy you? Well, you know, when he's watching other people play video games, does that not just piss you off?
Well, you know what really pisses me off? There's a controller for an old Nintendo that hasn't got batteries in that one of my kids, when he was a baby, used to play with. And my son gets the controller and sits in front of the TV and pretends it's him doing it. So he's watching someone else, a video of someone else playing a computer game, and he has got the controller and he just tells himself it's him doing
it. I'm not into it, man. These kids, I mean, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve
it. They don't.
They don't deserve the time they live in.
Who does? Someone pointed out to me the other day that, of course, when you say to kids, oh, how can you do that? How can you be watching someone else play a computer game? They point out, well, actually, what happens when you're watching someone play a sport?
No, it's bullshit. No.
Go on.
It's bullshit, mate.
It's just not the same, is it?
It's not the same.
All right, good, fine. Nice. Ooh, look at it.
Shut the fuck up, mate. I think it would be my response to that. Shut your fucking mouth, you're a child.
Are you a parent?
No, but I'm an uncle.
Okay, so do you do that with your nephews and nieces?
Yeah, shut the fuck up. Fucking prick. So that would be my response to that, I think.
Kids really react well when you speak to them like that. Yeah. Parents not so much.
As to their parents, yeah.
Where are we now? We're in November 2016, by the way.
Okay.
Welcome to November 2016.
I had probably just left the Home Office.
Okay.
I can probably guess what that purchase is.
So you kept on at the Home Office until...
I worked for the Home Office for almost to the day, 10 years.
Quite a moment then to walk away from that, because stand-up had been going for 6 years at this point.
Yeah.
And you finally did it.
Yeah, 6.5 years I've been doing stand-up. I can probably guess what that is.
Go on.
Is it a sleeve or something for a MacBook?
It is the 13.3-inch laptop sleeve for the MacBook Air. Congratulations.
Yes.
Tez Ilias, you have won.
Yes.
Absolutely nothing. £14.98 on the 6th of November.
Still got it, mate.
You're joking.
Still got it, mate.
That's incredible for a laptop sleeve to last that long.
Yeah, it's got it, mate. Well,
congratulations,
man. Send that back there.
So it's a robust sleeve. I mean, that's a review we should write on the product, saying this sleeve lasts.
Still got it, mate.
Yeah, still got it. Just, I mean, do you mind if
that 5 stars, still got it, mate.
can I write that as
a
review?
Yeah. 5 stars, still got it, mate.
Right product review, great. Yeah. 5 stars? Yeah.
Yeah.
Material quality, please.
Yeah, 5? Just 5.
Value for money, I think 5.
Yeah.
Right review. Still got it, mate.
Brackets July 2019.
Brackets July, thank you. 2019. Add a headline. Should the headline be...
Bought it in November 2016.
So the headline is brought it in November 2016, and then you'll open up the review and it will simply say, still got it, mate. Submit. That's absolutely in. Review submitted. Thank you very
much.
And
I'm not a reviewer. I don't review things.
You are not.
I tend not to, even before comedy.
Let's have a look. Well, you were just gigging. I mean, so you left the Home Office in 2016.
Yeah, I was gigging hard.
And you were absolutely gigging your face off, and you were buying some wonderful products, such as the Speed Baby Kid Rocking Animal Rocking Horse toy.
That 100% would have been for my niece for her birthday.
Why are you winking at me?
Sure, man.
When you say that. Yeah, I know. No, we all need a rocking horse. There's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a Facebook group. Or maybe there's a YouTube video for people who are adults but still enjoy a rocking horse. Nothing wrong with that at all. You bought the Braun Series 7 men's electric shaver. So that experiment with proper shaving didn't last long because you've now gone electric.
Yeah, and I don't think I used it all that much either.
Really?
No. Yeah.
What, the electric one you don't use
much?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
So you still stick with the acoustic?
No, I don't shave anymore.
Yeah, but you've got to trim that thing. That's a beautifully trimmed beard.
Barbers.
You go to the barbers for that?
Yeah. I only ever go to the barbers.
Okay. You like the ritual of it, see?
Yeah.
All right, 2017. Got Joe Lycett, Sarah Pascoe in your life. Yes, absolutely. James Acaster, brilliant people writing brilliant books. We all know about those. Are you going to have a book out one day? It's going to be a little Tezilias book?
Hopefully.
Good.
Hopefully.
That's what we like to hear. Very nice.
I have time to write it.
And then we arrive at 2019. Not too much bought. Again, only 3 orders. Considering we've had people on who've spent...
I've ordered a lot of stuff from Amazon this year.
Well, this year, 14 things so far this year.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind, one of our most recent guests had 150 items in a year. So actually, 14 is still quite low.
Okay, I'm very conservative compared to that.
Well, there you go.
Amazon purchasing.
Got some wild fish oil. Just bought very recently. One month's supply.
So I think everything this year would have been supplements of some sort. So I went to see a guy because I'm at alopecia.
Yeah.
I got recommended to go see this guy. And I can't remember what the exact science is called, but he basically does all these tests on you.
Yeah.
And he plugs you into this thing and tests your urine and all this sort of stuff. And he basically tests you for all your allergies and intolerances.
Right.
Because the science goes, or his science goes, and it makes sense, that most things that are wrong with people are to do with their gut health.
It's a massive thing at the moment. Gut health is huge at the moment. Yeah.
Gut health. And so I was like, okay, let's check me out. And then I was told that I was gluten intolerant, not celiac, but gluten intolerant.
Yes.
And I should completely cut out gluten out of my life.
Right.
And then he also gave me a whole list of supplements that I should use to help repair my gut bio.
Wow, so I can see them here, Tez. We're getting colostrum powder. We've got bioacidophilus.
Yep.
Veggie caps. Flaxseed, magnesium citrate. I heard that's probably said wrong. Citrate, maybe, I don't know. Vitamin K2. Wow, you've really gone for it.
Yeah.
Please tell me there's a happy ending here. Please tell me this works.
My hair's going back. This is all bald.
Well, because it was alopecia.
This is all bald. Yeah. This was all.
So Tez is pointing over the sort of crown of his head here.
Yeah.
Not the crown, sorry, they're the front.
So, I've got this alopecia at the back of my hair there.
Yeah.
So that's grown back in. And this used to be all the way back to here. And now it's grown back. It's not fully there yet, but it's significantly better than it was in February.
So this guy's told you had how many sort of intolerances and things did you
just
have?
Just one. Just gluten.
Right.
And he told me to reduce lactose and sugar, which I found a bit more tricky.
Especially as a stand-up, because everyone loves a milkshake after they do stand-up.
Milkshake is my favourite thing in the whole world.
Me too.
To drink and to throw out fascists alike.
So win-win. I should re-edit it and go back. So we should say, Tezilis, what were you doing in 2004? I was suffering so much from my alopecia because that could have given it a real journey. Never mind.
But I didn't. So my alopecia started in 2007. Had just like a 10-pen piece of my beard here. Mm. Grew back, didn't think anything of it.
Yeah.
And then over the next decade, just little holes in my beard started coming and going. Some lasted like up to 4 years.
Yeah.
Some lasted... I've got one now at the moment, actually. Just a little... Can you see that there?
Underneath the old chin there. Oh, mate, yeah, but only if you really pull back.
Yeah. But imagine that there.
I get it.
So that was the sort of thing that was happening. So it's not completely 100%, because you can see here the hairline isn't quite consistent, but it's... Yeah, it's...
It's fine. It's not like you're on telly or anything.
Yeah. So this is another thing about telly, so that the makeup lady fills it in
and just
makes it look like it should.
Mm.
And then people are like, oh, yeah, have you had a hair transplant? Which is a really annoying question, because I'm like, no.
Mm, mm. I was
ill and I got better.
Yeah, that's what you need to tell them in a really weighted way. Yeah. I was ill.
Yeah.
Listen to the My Mate Bought a Toaster podcast. You can hear about my battle with alopecia. Tez Ilias. Thank you very much for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
You are now fully on the road to recovery from the alopecia thing with the hair, which is good because you're on telly all the time.
Yes.
Tell us about the TV show, which is on at the moment.
Yeah, so it's the Tez O'Clock Show. It's on Channel 4. It's on Thursdays about 11 p.m.-ish because, mm-hmm. you know, it moves around here and there, 10 yeah. minutes. But it's about 11 p.m. on Thursdays. We've got an initial run. And hopefully it'll come back for more episodes.
This is very exciting because, I mean, when was your last Edinburgh? When did you last do Edinburgh?
2017.
Right. Okay, so 2 years ago when you were doing Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Which is about happens about now. So we're recording this in
yeah.
August.
Time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If someone said to you then, listen, in 2 years' time, you'll be talking about your Mad. New run on Channel 4. That's pretty Mad. Cool.
And it's also the show that I want to make. So it's not a show that I'm doing. It's the show that I want to make.
Yeah. yeah. People are saying good things, man. I'm hearing good things. And oh, there's clips good. Available online as well. Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? Just go and look up. Yeah, Disney, yeah, find yeah. the clips. Enjoy
yeah,
the clips.
Yeah, yeah, or, and, or if you, yeah. Or if you missed it on TV, because a lot of people just don't watch TV when things are on. And I understand that because that's how I live my life. Mm. Go on All 4, which is the Channel 4 catch-up service. And yeah, just binge it.
All right, Toast. Thank you very much, Steve, for coming on My Mate Bought a Toaster. We'll be back very soon. If you want to give us a follow, we're on Twitter as well, at ToasterPod. And you can get in touch with the show and say how much you love Toast Less, because that was brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye.
Bye. It's them always.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hi, I'm Julia Rayside, and I'd like to invite you aboard my podcast. Always There is the only podcast to navigate through every single episode in order of the 1980s seafaring soap opera, Howard's Way. You don't have to love Howard's Way or even remember it. We're going to talk about it anyway, because I think it's brilliant.
Somebody's nicked my bloody boat!
Find us on Twitter at Always There Pod.